Welcome back as the IFC presents another episode of The Four Archetypes. My name is James Malamus. We've got another exciting episode for you. Today we welcome back Dr. Habao Samurai and Dr. Lisa Hong. Today our discussion will focus on the Magician and the Queen archetype. If you enjoy the IFC's Individuation podcast and want to support, make sure to rate the podcast 5 stars on iTunes and review your podcast. So without any further ado, Dr. Al Samurai, take it away.
Welcome back to another episode of The Four Archetypes. I'm Dr. Lahab Al-Samurai, and with me today, as always, Dr. Lisa Hong is here. And we have some missing archetypes, but they will find their way back. Okay, so I thought today we'd do something different, Lisa. I thought we talk about the magician-queen archetype, since we are the magician and queen archetype. So we will talk about the shadows of the magician and queen, and we'll also talk about initiation of the magician and queen. Okay, so I thought we start with the idea of, so the magician on the axes, so we contain all four archetypes, just for everybody's know-how. So you don't contain one archetype. These are the archetypes of power. We contain all four, but they are in different they are in different positions for each person. So you could have magician queen, you could have magician queen, or you could have queen magician, or you could have magician queen lover warrior, or warrior lover. So it would be a certain hierarchy, and how that would work is that how much we access these other archetypal powers. So Lisa, what do you think? You are probably queen lover,
queen
warrior magician,
warrior.
Queen warrior, queen warrior lover magician, or queen, what do you think?
I hadn't given much thought about what my second hierarchy.
Let's talk about
the hierarchy. The warrior comes out I think someone on the outside can see myself better.
I mean, you definitely have warrior in you. I don't see it like secondary to you.
Mm-hmm.
I see more like queen lover. Maybe warrior is next, and magician would be the four axes. So you would access them differently. Usually the magician, queen, king are on the opposite spectrum. Like they are, they hold each other in a different way. But that's not always the case. So the way development works is that the environment that we are surrounded by, the environment, the incubator that we grow up in, certain archetypal energies are acceptable and certain ones are not acceptable. Right? So for the queen, you know, the warrior aspect of the queen, the warrior would be looked at as too masculine, or although Karen is queen warrior, like her secondary is warrior. I think then lover magician. So her hierarchy is different than yours. Or both of you archetypally are queens, but the hierarchy, the way it's consolidated is different.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be how we access it and why we need to access it. So mm-hmm. how we grew up, but what was the situation? What was the environment?
Yeah. So just thinking, example, an event this weekend, there was a loose plan and I was going to go meet rendezvous at a point and just kill some time.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out that the time was a lot longer than I had expected. And when I was sitting there, I was like, well, you know, it never occurred to me to get really angry about the not having the expectations met, my expectations met.
Yeah.
It was just more like, okay, I'm going to just talk to the people around me and just have conversations and enjoy my time and not worry about the time. So I was thinking, okay, in that situation, maybe it's not, I wasn't impatient or I didn't feel like this is a waste of time.
Ooh.
Not doing something.
Yeah.
Or affecting something.
Yeah.
So maybe I can see that starts to remove layers of warrior hierarchy.
Yeah. It would be like you were accessing the lover more
mm-hmm.
in that instance.
Mm-hmm. And then generally on my vacations, on my time, I like to allow for spontaneity and opportunities to not move anywhere and have a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't need to check the boxes of the sites and things. It's not the way I move.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to help people kind of visualize how the four archetypal energies or four archetypal powers work, how they move. And it depends on circumstances, the environment we grow up in, and how we interact with the environment, how the environment interacts with us, how we see the environment coming towards us, right? So the energies and the demands of certain places like schools and work, friendships will help shape the way we access those energies more. Right. So I think in a patriarchal culture, the warrior archetype for the feminine is not embraced as much as the lover archetype for the feminine. So we have a lot of movies about the lover, right? Or what they call romance movies or rom-coms or you know, love stories, basically, of how the two meet. So we see a lot of lover on TV, right? The other ones are the other movies or genres that would occur, like horror or shadow aspects. So each archetype also has an unknown other. So there's shadow aspects to each. So the queen would have a shadow. The lover would have a shadow. The warrior would have a shadow. And the magician would have a shadow. So now you're thinking the hierarchy is there is the unknown and there's the known. So the unknown is the parts of ourselves that are split off, disconnected, not embraced, not accepted, not wanted. This is also in the environments that we grow up in. Certain things are accepted. So if you grow up in a religious background, or if you grow up in a very intellectual background, or you grow up in a very working background or military background, you embrace certain things a lot differently. And so if you grow up around warriors, that's going to be your second in the hierarchy. So if you grew up in a military family, so this Karen, speaking of Karen, you would end up having like queen warrior as your secondary. Right? And the more we're able to access, the more we're able to integrate them into a more complete picture of the way our energies move. So I was thinking, Lisa, what, how would that be helpful to us or not to know these things? But I think that it's helpful to know which archetypal energies we lean towards. You know, because then we know preferences, we know behaviors, we know circumstances, how we move in certain situations, and what is easier for us and what is not as easy. Right? So, you know, the way we would move the different archetypal energies is the way the archetypal energies are configured within us. But also the way we access those archetypal energies. So our primary archetypal energy is always the way we move in the world. It's always kind of our go-to. Like you would say, well, just get it done. Just do it. This is very queen, very like, I don't understand what's holding things up. The lover would go, you know, let's see how the night unfolds. Let's play it by ear. Right? The warrior would get agitated by that. The warrior would say, what's the plan?
Why are we still talking about it?
Yeah. What's the plan? And I need to know the plan. Right? And the magician would say, well, let's think about it. Let's reflect on it. Let's see the possibilities of it, which is agitating to the hierarchy. So there is a agitation between the four archetypes, and there's also a coming together of the four. The more we're able to integrate, the easier it is to move in the world. The less we're able to integrate, like, oh, I don't do that, is like a common response to an energy that I am afraid of. I don't do that. Or I don't think that way. Or because the ability to access the four archetypal energies, you could think in different ways, right? You could reflect on something in a different way, just as I'm describing how the lover would see something, or the queen, or the magician, or the warrior would see something, but you could see it from different perspectives. Like we would say, like if you're accessing, like, somebody's enraged you, and you were like, in my youth, I would have punched him in the face. Right? So the warrior is underdeveloped. It was given up early on in youth. Right? The lover would say, you know, I just wouldn't pay attention to them. They're not worth my time. The queen would say, they don't belong in my world. Like, they don't really exist as an irritant. They're just very far away.
Or the queen might say, that's very unfair. That was not appropriate behavior.
Yes. Also, there's the judgment of the queen.
Yeah, the judgment.
Yeah. So the judgment of the queen is that this is how things work. You want to talk more about that? You want to talk about like how you navigate certain things?
And, yeah, in adolescence, the had something like that incurred, there would have been a retaliation, verbal.
Yeah.
Some sort of verbal retort, like not necessarily fighting back, but just actually more like, you can't, you're not allowed to do that. That was unfair. How dare you?
Yeah. Attitude. How dare you? That's verbal. A very, very, very archetypal queen, king. How dare you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would the warrior do, though?
Warrior probably just fight back.
Yeah. The warrior would punch back.
It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen my fist?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in Hollywood or in media, the warriors are venerated as something that is great. The problem is when the energies are out of balance, when there's not enough lovers, there's no way to tone that down. That energy becomes bombastic, warlike, disruptive, destructive, and therefore the warrior is running amok. Right? Or there's no peace, there's no, and that's what the lovers bring in, right? The queen, a king, axes is the one that holds everything together. It doesn't let things get out of hand. You know, it's like, go on, Lisa, you had a thought.
Yeah, I'd like to bring up the situation in Haiti. How do things get out of control like that? Why are things all amok, and how can people be compliant with this? I feel like in a situation like that, a lot of these warrior archetypes are coming out, and king archetypes are coming out, and they're working together, and it's tuning into it's calling out of everybody's hierarchy. It's beckoning, is drawing the symphony of the same voice. Yeah. So they're able to change the priority of their hierarchy to justify an action. Would you say that's something that's, how is this all happening? Why is it all becoming so unstable or extreme in one direction?
Well, instability in the world is always because the archetypal energies are out of balance, mm-hmm. right? So certain archetypal energies have basically created a coup d'etat against others. And that my way or the highway kind of thinking prevails. And then you have, because there are a lot of the unknown other, the shadow aspects of each archetype, is the kings become, so the unknown other would be for the king or queen, would be the tyrant.
Tyrant, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So for the magician, it would be the manipulator, the trickster. The warrior would be the weakling. The lover would be more the depressed, anxious, disconnected from the energies. So we move in the world in a certain way, we see the world in a certain way, and if the hierarchy is out of balance, if our hierarchy is out of balance, we tend to move in the world in a more fragmented way. And when we talk about treatment and why treatment is necessary and why JAMP is necessary and why Jungian Advanced Motor Processing is necessary, is to be able to integrate those pieces together, right? So trauma affects the body, it affects the mind, it affects our ability to tune into our archetypal energies, to access them in a way that is more forward-looking than backward-looking.
And I'll reflect on the situation, the politics there. That's generational trauma of what's going on with the people there.
Yeah, it's repetitive. It's happening.
Yeah.
It's happening in the Middle East. The destruction that is occurring is of enormous consequences in the future. Because the more trauma there is, the more disassociation there is, the more rage that exists, right? Because you're disassociated from the part of you that wants to make peace, or wants to stop fighting, or wants to move forward, or wants some form of equality or empathy towards the other, even though there is these vast amounts of hatred for the other. So hatred takes over, and that energy itself, like hate as an energy in the world, is something that debilitates societies. It will bring societies down. And as we notice in our own society in the United States, we can see that in our politics. There is rage, there is anger, and there is no form of understanding or acceptance or empathy for the other. Right.
But even despite all the stresses and traumas, there are occasional peoples who arise and demonstrate and practice great integration, and that they're able to tap into the aspects of themselves to and move within the chaos to try or to try to bring us.
Yeah.
They're there.
Yeah, the archetypal energies always try to prevail a balance. There's a reason the four exist within each of us. That is the balance. If we don't understand the other archetypal energies, the other archetypal powers that move us in the world, we're not integrated. We're not what Jung calls individuated. We haven't come to and brought our potential into the world. Because the more integrated we are, the less anxious we are, the less irritated we are, the less enraged we are, you know, and the less one-sided we are. We could see the other's point of view, even though it is in opposition to ours, because we have opposing, conflicting point of views internally. Right? Somebody, like when people say night and day, you know, what they're saying is there's complete opposition between the two, even though it exists in the same sphere. There's always night, there's always day. To split it up, and the splitting is the biggest issue that we face, especially in trauma, because the number one defense is to split the trauma into pieces and keep it as non-integrated. And because it's non-integrated and because it's deep within the psyche, it comes out in pieces. And that's why the pieces are so dysfunctional for us, or make us more dysfunctional than we need to be. The whole idea is to, the more we're able to access these pieces, then we can have love and use love in an appropriate way. You know, creation, invention, beauty, and delegation are all intertwined. You can't have one without the other. The ferocity of having them separated and having me one-sided, or having one one-sided, is detrimental to, for example, you're giving Haiti as an example, which we've seen over and over again over the years, right? But there is also intrusion into that society and to the stability of that society from the beginning of time, from the beginning of the creation of that island nation. It was built on trauma. And that has not healed. The Middle East, the Israelis, Palestinians, is built on trauma. That has not healed. There's not been an awakening towards that this needs to be healed, that this needs to be integrated. Everybody says mine. And as long as everybody says mine, everybody's going to continue to fight over what's mine. There's no capacity for sharing. There's no capacity for coexistence. And that's what we're seeing. The complete destruction is there's no capacity within myself. And therefore, my internal rage is externalized into the world. What do you think, Lise? Do you think that the energies can be integrated when we use treatment and the integration of the energies? How would that make us a little kinder, gentler?
We all have that capacity, but it takes courage.
Ooh.
You know yourself.
Yeah.
And see yourself.
Yeah.
So, you know, in your weakest, you want to take the easiest route.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that that is getting you anywhere.
Now that's bringing up the warrior's energy, right? To be brave,
mm-hmm.
to be courageous,
to have the grit.
Yeah.
The persistence.
Yeah.
But there's a different way that for each archetype to create a motivation from each archetypal hierarchy, yeah, to create a motivation to continue.
Yeah.
So like for a magician, it would be, I must know.
Yeah.
For the warrior archetype is, I need to be gone with this pain.
Yeah.
Just focus on that. I have to go through the pain to get out of the pain. For a lover archetype, maybe you can help me with that one.
The lover archetype would say, you know, I need to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
I need forgiveness.
Mm.
Because the lover can be very selfish and very one-sided. So they need to give forgiveness, and they need to ask for forgiveness. They need to accept forgiveness as part of who they are. For the warrior, like you said, you need to be brave, but not warlike. You need to be courageous in making amends without eradicating the other.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The problem, you know, you have is that the magicians in the background are accessing energies that are very, very destructive, especially in their unknown other, in their shadows. They are masters of war, even though their faces are unseen. You know, they let the generals carry out the destruction, but they're the ones who are creating new ways to destroy. As much as they are creating new ways to build. And that's always the unknown other. And we call it the unknown other because it's not just shadow. Shadow means a lack of light. It's not just lack of light. It's unknown to us. And that's why we need to make it conscious. That's why to integrate trauma, we need to become conscious of the trauma before it heals. If it's just holding us, if it's just tearing us apart, if it's just making us scream, it is not conscious, and it's something that I am fighting all the time.
So those moments are when you're in that argument or in that situation and you just say something, and afterwards you're like, that's so unlike me. I don't know where that came from. That's part of the unknown other. And the effect of those words that you said can be from different voices.
Yeah.
Based on the knowledge and the context. And those are the aspects of they're within you, though maybe not consciously present for you to identify the connections of what you said and who you are and how you feel.
Yeah. So you have you're unconscious of your unconscious. The unknown. We know that there's an unknown, or so we say the known unknown. So known would be consciousness, and the unknown would be the unconscious. But these aspects of our disruption are in the unknown. These are the aspects we need to pull together. We need to bring into the light. We need to reconnect those pieces. And that's what the treatment does. That's what the GEM treatment does. It brings those pieces together.
Yes.
And with the affirmations, to forgive oneself, to be easier on oneself, because we have because we've been hurt, we're so angry that we're also angry with self.
Yes. I'd like to add also that with part of the forgiveness of self is no judgment of self.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily to draw it out and say that shouldn't belong and squish it out.
Yeah.
That's not what it is.
Yeah.
It is to draw it out to say, oh, hello, you are a part of me. And here we are. So bringing it in the fold. And then with that comes the forgiveness of self, the understanding, no judgment, awareness, integration, acceptance, forgiveness, and then move on and know it's there. And doesn't mean it's there all the time or dominating, or it doesn't mean it's a saboteur every time. It's just a part. You can call upon it, not call upon it. Just be aware of it and bring it into yourself again.
Yeah.
And that is the integration of the self.
Yeah, I really like the metaphor of squishing it out, because when you squish a grape, the seed pops out, and the seed is going to repopulate everything. So you have smashed the external, but the internal pops out, and then it starts to grow in a very, very different way, right? So it's a visualization of how we try to stomp it out or walk it off or, you know, shout it out or get it out. But the problem is not that it needs to get out. It needs to be known. Because what could come out could be so destructive, right? Because it's unknown. It's like, I don't know that I could create so much havoc and destruction.
In the fighting of it, sometimes. It's just part of the debris. But what the beauty of JAMP is, it gives you that safe platform, that safe consciousness, safeness within yourself to even look at that.
Yeah.
Part of yourself in a way that you will still be safe.
Yeah.
And that is the beauty of JAMP. And that in itself is a gift.
You know, feeling peace and feeling okay with oneself and feeling not at war with oneself. So the external always reflects the internal. Whatever is happening in the world for me, the way I am moving in the world, is always a part of me and the way I'm feeling about the world. So if I'm having a bad day, then the world is having a bad day. It's like, did you see that driver? Did you see that person who served me coffee? Did you hear what she said? Did you see that? It's always a problem. Now, for instance, you go out in the world and you're a lot happier and you're smiling and life is feeling a lot better. Then it's forgiveness. It's like, oh, they weren't paying attention. Oh, she was trying to be nice. Oh, she must be having a bad day. You are more readily accepting of the irritation that exists in the outside world. Well, that means you have to accept the irritation in the inside world. That means you have to integrate that irritation in the inside world. Because if you leave it to fester, if you squish it, the seed pops out and it repopulates. And then you have a lot of other squishing to do, right? And before it becomes wine, it's vinegar. Right? It's sour, it's pungent. But then you have this great bottle of wine and you're like, wow, this is amazing. But that is what transformation is about. Is about taking that vinegar and piss into something much more delectable, much more palatable, much more digestible, much more drinkable. Yeah. I thought we, kind of helped, give you tidbits of what we are saying today. We weren't going to get too complex about the missing pieces or how they work, but just the idea of the integration is the important idea here. It's the idea we want to get across, at least. The idea of integration is required internally so we could integrate what we do externally. That it's not a impossible task. What is impossible is the being controlled by the fear, controlled by the anger, controlled by revenge, controlled by destruction. That becomes an impossibility because it just grows and grows and grows and spreads. Okay. We will be back next week. Dr. Lisa, we are the Institute for Conflict. I am Dr. Lahav El-Samrai. This is Dr. Lisa Hong. And as we always end our podcast with, I am not afraid.
I am not afraid.
And we say that because to face fear is to be brave, to be courageous, and to move in the world in a more loving and creative way. We would like to say goodbye to you. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the IFC's The Four Archetypes. We hope you enjoyed hearing from Dr. Lisa Hong and Dr. El-Samrai. You can also find us on the IFC's YouTube. Make sure to check out the JAMP Institute for Training's Munitions Call podcast as well. Tuning in next time to the IFC's The Four Archetypes for another episode soon. The IFC is a not-for-profit institution. We do not have any paid advertising for our podcast, but we do accept donations. All donations and contributions are tax-deductible. You can find more info on institutefortraining.com.